Blog Talk Radio.
And hey, let us ransom people for all time. From every tribe and language, people, every nation.
One of my favorite songs, because she's talking about unity, bringing us together in unity. The Most High Creator Yahuwah is bringing us all together in unity, and this show is all about bringing us back into alignment with the Creator's love, wisdom, and understanding, overstanding. So welcome to Soul Purpose Healing. I'm your host, Viata, and I had a great show lined up tonight. My guest was Raul, who is a semi-pro football player. I met Raul about a month ago, and we had a three-hour conversation on the way back to Orlando. And unfortunately, Raul is caught up in the air traffic delay and snow problems today. I'm sure most of you have heard we have quite a bit of bad weather up in the north and east coast. And unfortunately, Raul was planning to land in Orlando at 5:30 this afternoon. His plane was delayed, so currently he is 30,000 feet up in the air and unable to talk to us on the phone on Blog Talk. So that's okay. We adjust here at Soul Purpose Healing. We make adjustments. And our topic tonight is the athlete's dilemma. And I was really hoping that Raul could share his story with you because he has a fascinating story, and hopefully we'll have him on next week or later in the week. But he has a fascinating story about his childhood athletic activity as a football player. From a very young child, Raul played football, and now he's 30 years old playing semi-pro football, not even getting paid for it, but because of his love of the game, he's playing semi-pro looking for that trophy. They're all looking for the trophy, and right now we've got football, NFL football players looking for that Super Bowl ring, that coveted Super Bowl ring. And so our topic, the athlete's dilemma, is really all about, is it worth it? Are the activities that we're involved in, are they worth the pain, the suffering, and even death for some athletes? So we're talking about a lot of athletic activities tonight. Since my guest is not here, I'm going to have you meet one of my family members, because we grew up, my sisters and I grew up with the athlete, my dad, who was an NFL football player. But more than that, my dad played every sport in high school. He was a track runner. He was a basketball player. He swam. He did all the athletics. And so I grew up in a family, my sister and I grew up in a family, where we were heavily involved in the YMCA activities, from swim team to gymnastics, roller skating. There was hardly any athletic activity that my sisters and I were not participating in. And so we're talking tonight about the athlete's dilemma, because not all are glorifying the creator who made these awesome bodies. I just spent 3 days in a workshop about yoga teacher training. I'm studying to become a teacher of yoga because I believe this is one of the most important athletic practices that we can be involved in that will bring health to the body. We're talking about the athlete's dilemma because some athletic endeavors are not bringing health at all. In fact, they're bringing disease. And so we want to bring out some of the athletic activities, the dilemma that some have and the dilemma that we don't have. Because my journey from a young child, from a young lady in a family that was directed by our dad, who was the athlete, who he had all the experience, all the teaching skills, but he made sure that his daughters were involved in every athletic activity there was. So I'm going to open up the mic. I believe my sister is on the line. Yvette, are you there? Yvette, can you hear me? Hello? Yvette, are you there?
Yes.
Well,
are you ready
Yvette?
For me? Yes.
Yes.
Are you
are
ready
you there?
For me?
Oh, yes, I'm welcome to Soul Purpose Healing.
Hi, I missed whatever you said.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me clearly?
Yes. I'm on my...
Because I'm on a different phone. I'm actually on my cell phone tonight because I'm at a different house, and I have earphones in my ear, so I was going to experiment and see which sounds better, the earphones or the speaker. But if you can hear me okay and I'm clear, then I'll stick with the earphones.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
My sister is on...
Okay, my sister Yvette is on the line, and she's my older sister. And we grew up in the same household with Sherman Howard, whose book is out, Football and Beyond. And I just asked her to call in because we had a very unique experience growing up at the YMCA in High Park, Chicago, Illinois. And I'm going to let my sister just share with you her experience on the swim team at the High Park YMCA, because we were all on the swim team, but she was on the swim team as well. And so the first athletic activity we want to talk about is swimming, because my sister and I were very involved in swimming. We had very good training, and then we were on the swim team. So, Yvette, would you share your experience on the swim team when you were growing up?
Hello, audience. I want to share the experience because I was a butterfly was my stroke, and I was pretty good at it for 8 to 10 year old little girl. I can't remember exactly how old, around those years. I was the only black too on the swim team. We traveled in Illinois, Wisconsin is probably the furthest, and I tell everybody this story because I live in Atlanta now in the South, and I really didn't see any racial turmoil like they have here until except on television. I was always treated as if I was part of their family. I slept at their house. I ate with them. We traveled as a team. So I was never treated different. Up north, it was different than it is down here in the South anyway. But my experience was a good experience because I didn't feel the racial tension. And I was lucky for that because I was treated as if I was a family member, even though I was the only black. I tell people the story also. Is the only difference is when it came to me combing my hair. All of the little white girls were in the mirror combing their hair, and I had to do a little step one, two, and three with mine. But it was a good experience for me, and it taught me a lot of diversity because it was not just whites, it was Chinese and other kinds of nationalities. But it didn't affect me in the way that it does being down here in the South and the way some of my friends and coworkers have dealt with it. So it's a challenge, I tell you. Times have changed, and it's nowhere like it was, Vieta, when we were growing up.
Oh, you know, I never thought about that aspect of it, the racial aspect of it, but that you bring up a good point. When we were growing up, we were so secure.
Oblivious to it.
Yeah.
Being in the South, and I tell people about my story and how I never heard of a black color or white water fountain. I never saw that. I mean, until I saw it on the television, Martin Luther King, and when they used to show that, all that. I was born in 53, so Martin Luther King died. I was, what, 10? So, when did Martin Luther King die? Was it 63?
Well, it was in the 60s for sure.
Yeah, I was 63. Well, I was 10, but I just didn't feel the racial tension like a lot of my friends here in Atlanta. It's kind of sad because I have a lot of friends who went to segregated schools. They do remember the color and white water fountains. They were treated different where they had to go through back doors to go to the movies. I can't imagine what that would have been like for us, Vieta. I don't know.
I never even thought about that, that you have people in your age range who had a totally different experience growing up and being able to be an athlete in their community. That's really crazy. We had a protected life, and I wrote about this in my dad's book because he made sure that his girls were raised in a neighborhood that was diverse and that we had access to all the athletic activities that we needed. So, Yvette, just tell us what you love most about swimming, though, because that's a pretty heavy activity as far as the physical. It's pretty physically heavy, active, or strenuous.
Well, and not so much the freestyle swimming, the butterfly. When I look at the Olympics now, I can't imagine doing two laps of butterfly in a competition. I mean, I was what, 10 years old? I don't know, but that's a pretty strenuous stroke to do anyway.
Yeah.
But my father always says maybe that's why I had strong legs. So he contributes to me. That's why I was able to do it. I never thought of it. I just liked the competition of getting to the other end of the pool and looking over and you don't see anybody there. Or you see one person and you only have to catch up to beat one person. That was my thrill of it, I guess. And winning, our team winning when we did. We all gathered in a gym with our swimsuits on. And I tell people this, we had to take showers, so we were all nude. I mean, it was just so different than it is now, of course. but we were just like one big family. That's what we were like, the whole YMCA.
So, you know, I think that's what the biggest thing about football and all these other sports, like you say, you have this family connection with your teammates. And like you said, you loved the fact that we were on winning teams. There was nothing like being on a team that was winning. And even when you didn't win, you still had these relationships with your fellow teammates, mostly women in our case, that you could relate to, and that we had this common goal of doing our very best and using our athletic abilities to help our team win the trophy, right?
Trophy. And we it was like our, and I think of it like, oh, that was our little Olympics.
Yes.
Little Olympics.
It was. And my stroke was breaststroke. I could not handle that butterfly. I'm not even built for butterfly stroke. So the stroke I liked the most was always been the breaststroke, and maybe freestyle occasionally, but my stroke was breaststroke. So that took a lot of physical exertion. It took mental capability. It took training. It took practice. I mean, we had swim team practice, at least once a week, if not every other day during the height of the season, right?
Yeah, and I don't even remember that being a strenuous thing, the practice, because we enjoyed it so much.
Right. Yeah, thank you. We really did enjoy swimming. And unlike some sports, there were no consequences to as far as pain or suffering. I don't even remember being really tired after swimming. We had so much fun with it, and we enjoyed it so much being in the water. And I think I was even involved in synchronized swimming at one point. But
yeah.
There were no consequences that I could remember, negative consequences of being on a swim team and having to practice and train. Can you think of any negative consequences to that routine we had?
I do remember, you know, all these snacks. I don't know if you remember all the snacks we used to eat. And it was good snacks. It wasn't candy bars and... I don't know, this family would fix fruit and pretzels, and we didn't have junk food when we snacked. This was in between our meats, but we had good food. I don't remember junk food.
Yeah, and so my sister and I grew up in a neighborhood in the Hyde Park, Chicago area, in the 50s and 60s, as far as being on the swim team, we were in the 50s and 60s, we were on the swim team, and it was not a segregated community at all. It was very integrated and diverse, and so we were on a team with people of all diverse races and cultures, and in fact, most of the time, we were one of the few blacks on the team, wouldn't you say?
I know for a fact on a lot of my meets, I was the only black.
Yeah, swim meets, we would be the only blacks on the team or in the swim meets at all, not alone, not just our team. But so swimming was not an activity where you would see, or a sport where you would see a lot of African Americans. We really kind of broke the color barrier in that area, and just as in gymnastics now, you're seeing a lot more African Americans play in that field of that sport or that athletic activity.
And I think a lot of blacks too don't care for the swimming because of their hair. You know, you get your hair pressed. You don't want to get your hair wet. But luckily, our mother was a licensed beautician, and I guess maybe that's why we didn't worry about that.
Now that we think about it.
Because we used to wear extra things around our edges so they wouldn't get wet, but they would get wet. So I'm thinking, is that why? I know that's why a lot of blacks don't swim, because they don't want to get their hair wet. So
yeah, that's a good point. Another good point is that back then, pressing combs were in, and you just didn't want to ruin your hairstyle by getting in that pool and seeing the curls return too quickly.
Right. Your bangs pressed and everything. You don't want to have to go back to that. But our mother did hair. We didn't have to worry about that.
So we were a lot freer to participate in athletics like swimming, where your hair would get wet and curl up again. But it was such a fun time and a health-producing time. We were pretty healthy children, I think, because of all the athletic activity that we were involved in. And so gymnastics
at an early age how to swim, whereas we could go and swim in Lake Michigan and not worry about being under a lifeguard. Swimming off of rocks, diving off of rocks into the lake.
Yeah. Swimming
to boats. So it taught us at an early age. Very good swimmer.
Yeah, it gave us a lot of freedom. Being an athlete gives you a lot of freedom and choices to how you're going to spend your time and how you're going to exercise your physical body. So my sister and I were really blessed to have the experience we had as children. And then we had gymnastics activity. We had roller skating. So all these activities strengthened our bodies. It helped us stay healthy. And so the athlete's dilemma today now is becoming quite different for many. We weren't involved in track so much, but there were other my dad was involved in track. My dad played all kinds of sports. So you've got all these athletic activities that can really produce a strong body. And I just spent 3 days in a yoga teacher training workshop where I learned a whole lot about the body postures and making sure they're comfortable. And the first byproduct of these practices is perfect health. When a person is in a yoga position, I realized that I learned from a very good teacher this weekend when, number one, that breathing and life are the same. The key focus in yoga practice is the breath. The breathing gives oxygen to the body, produces oxygen in the body. And yoga being something like 5,000 years old, it has so many spiritual elements to it as well as the physical. For instance, when a person is in a yoga pose, one of the things that's produced is collagen in the bones. And so you get into all these different poses, and the goal is to be comfortable when you're in the poses. There's no pressure to do anything in yoga that a person is not comfortable doing, because when a person is stretching and bending and posing and breathing more than anything, the body is really being healed and strengthened. Who would have thought that collagen, which is an important ingredient in the bones and the bone structure, is being produced when a person is in a yoga position. So yoga is one of the things that I'm passionate about now. I don't do a lot of swimming, but I'm always ready to jump in go to a beach. And if the water's calm and clean, then I'm always ready to jump in and practice my athletic training. But a lot of African Americans don't have that skill or talent, although I see even that is changing. Just like gymnastics, you have many African Americans who are developing an interest in swimming. So all of that is changing, and more individuals in general are participating in all types of athletics. We have so many choices, and these are good ways to keep the body healthy, along with a good diet and a good attitude and being conscious of whatever athletic activity you're in, whether it's producing health or disease. And so today we have in the National Football League, we have what's called a season of conscious concussion consciousness. These days, when you see a player on the football field who gets knocked out and he's diagnosed with a concussion, the NFL team goes immediately into what they call concussion protocol. And concussion protocol involves, I'm sure, many things, many steps, many check-offs on the list of what do you do when this happens, because last year or last couple of years, the NFL was sued by NFL players, retired players, for a large sum of money, and they won that suit. So the NFL had to pay out millions of dollars because of the consequences of all the concussions and collisions that these guys are involved in. And so today we have what's called concussion consciousness in the NFL. They immediately go in a concussion protocol, and I would love to know exactly what that means. So for one of the things that's obvious what that means is that the player has to come out of the game and he has to be examined and analyzed as to whether he is able to either continue playing or whether he needs probably a long period of rest. And so they have, the NFL has always had plenty of doctors on duty to examine and assess the damage that a player received on the field. And so nowadays, we're hearing more and more, especially with the movie Concussion out, we're hearing more and more of the damage that these players are experiencing because of this violent game. And so today, at the end of my yoga practice, we had a list of what's called yoga sutras. These are like ancient philosophies of yoga that help the person practicing yoga or the teacher teaching yoga. It helps them to be in alignment with the creator, because the whole purpose of yoga is really to become one with the creation and the wholeness of life. It's a vibration of the Sanskrit, which is the ancient language. And so yoga is meant to bring a person into oneness or union, creation all around you. Even some of the poses like the downward facing dog are meant to help the yoga practitioner get into a mind of understanding or relating to animals in the universe or in the earth. And so the whole practice is about becoming one with creation and becoming whole and becoming being in unity with nature and the creation. So yoga is a perfect practice, I believe, to help for NFL players, football players, to maintain or maybe even retrieve their health. So one of the sutras that I was particularly interested in today at the end of my yoga training class states that the pain and misery that has not yet happened can and should be avoided. And it also says that when the mind is disturbed by improper thoughts, constant pondering over the opposites is the remedy. And then the third one that I'm going to go over is the improper thoughts or emotions, whether present in mild, medium, or intense degree, cause endless pain. So there is the necessity of pondering over the opposite. Now, what do these mean in terms of the dilemma of the athlete or the athlete's dilemma? Because as my sister and I just shared, swimming was a perfectly enjoyable activity and sport for us. We didn't suffer any pain. I don't even remember having to rub my legs or my arms with any pain relief gels, and don't ever remember having taken any aspirin, that's for sure, for any pain, headaches, or whatever from swimming. Swimming was just a very strong promoter of health and strength of the body. Same thing with yoga. When you have the right teacher, the teacher is aware that this is a practice that should not be forced in any way, and that the student is there to do as little as possible. In fact, the philosophy in yoga is less is more, and don't force any postures or positions. And so in that respect, the mind responds to the practice of moving the body, holding poses, and recognizing the beauty of the human body and demonstrating in a yoga class the ability to be flexible, to create collagen in the bones by positioning yourself in a certain way, and then breathing into the posture to bring more oxygen to the cells and to the brain especially. So in the opposite way, you have the sport of football, where these men are trained, as we mentioned on one show, to be gladiator-like, to inflict harm on the other player and to take them out if possible, and to call and tackle and have collisions throughout the game and be rough and violent. I think most people would agree that football is a fairly violent sport. And so the philosophy that if you have improper thoughts or emotions, whether present in mild, medium, or intense degree, cause endless pain. So a lot of what we see on the football field is a mind thing. We have men who have the mind to be violent and tackle and to bring harm to another individual if possible in some cases. And so the emotions and the thoughts behind this game of football are very intense in terms of violence sometimes. And then the philosophy in one of the yoga principles is that causes endless pain. So there's a necessity of thinking about the opposite of that. So if you're involved in a sport like football, the opposite of that game would be yoga. So that these men, if they wanted to maintain their health, they would be wise during the off season, this yoga. Because yoga is a very peaceful, non-violent practice. And I actually heard a football player on a YouTube video that I was watching of Dr. Amalu, who discovered the brain disease in football players. And the football player, he stood up and he wasn't visible, but you could hear him saying that what has helped him recover from the brain injury or collisions was yoga. And so that triggered in my mind that I should do more training in this area and to help to talk to have conversations whenever I have the opportunity to talk about the opposing mindset that these players need to get their health back or maintain their health. Because the yoga principle that says the mind, when the mind is disturbed by improper thoughts, what are improper thoughts? Anything that goes against love is an improper thought. Then there has to be a change and a thinking and meditation on the opposite for a remedy to occur. So the football player's mind is, on the one hand, it's about teamwork, it's about helping your team get to the goal, helping your team get to run a pass or a touchdown. But on the other hand, there are men on that team who are trained to tackle and take down the opponent. And so in that sense, it's very violent. And so what these players need to be thinking about is yoga. This is my belief over the last 50 years or so of transitioning into this type of athletic activity. My sisters and I had gymnastics, roller skating, swimming, all kinds of softball, camping, all kinds of athletic activity, but I never participated in a yoga class when I was young, and yoga did not become a part of my lifestyle until the past 10 years. I've been more involved in practicing yoga in the past 10 years, and so I've become more aware of the peacefulness of this practice. And so what football players, and I'm sure other athletes can benefit as well, but especially football players who are struggling with the pain and misery that has not even happened. When these guys start out in this game, they have pain after every game. You can be sure that my guest tonight was going to talk about the pain that even he is in at 30 years old playing semi-pro football. And he doesn't even get paid for what he's doing. But our conversation was all about the awareness that this football player has in the semi-pro league of the amount of pain medication that he finds himself taking at this stage of his life. And this is someone who's been playing football since they were in junior high. And so the longer, as the movie Concussion brings out, the longer a young man is in the game of football, the more chances that he will develop this disease. Now my theory is this. If someone is practicing a nonviolent practice, athletic activity, sport, maybe in the off season, and if they're really, if they have a very healthy diet, and they have a prayer life, and they are countering the offensive, violent activity on the football field, then I believe it's possible that brain disease will not manifest in that individual, because what they are doing is offsetting the negative thoughts, the negative behavior, the negative emotions that go along with that practice. When you're on the swim team, you don't have any negative emotions about your teammate, the opposite, your opponent. There's no room for negative emotions about your opponents, the other team. You're solely focused on being strong in your body and doing the very best you can, whether it's butterfly stroke or backstroke or front or breaststroke. Your goal as a swimming athlete is to do the best you can, use all your strength, and trust that you will finish the lap and be successful and have victory just finishing the lap and maybe helping your team win. But there's no negative emotions involved in the sport of swimming. The sport of baseball, you don't see the violent emotional thought and the thoughts and the behavior behind baseball. Each one, it's pretty much each individual practicing and displaying their skills in the best way that they can and using the rules of the game. And then basketball, the same thing. Each you rarely see any violent activity. You might hear an elbow going in someone's rib or head or something. But those sports, for the most part, are not violent. But all of these sports, something in common. And this is where we get into the divine purpose of all athletes and athletic activity, is that all of these practices, sports, are meant to teach us lessons about life. If we are watching a game and only want to be entertained by that game, if we only want to entertain, looking at it from a higher perspective, and we call that overstanding. And my friends that and my sisters that I have, we know that overstanding refers to having the perspective of the Most High, the higher position. You're standing over the earth, looking at the activities on the earth, and you're seeing the purpose, the divine purpose of these activities, especially sports in this instance. And so an athlete's dilemma is to become conscious. An athlete's dilemma, in my mind, is to realize that they are on this team to glorify the Creator who made them, to bring harmony to the team, to have relationships, to have contact. Being on a team is all about developing contact relationships and working together for a common goal. Those are just some of the reasons that we are on football teams, swim teams, baseball teams, gymnastic teams, whatever. Our Creator intends for us to develop relationships, develop skills, develop discipline. These teams are really meant to help us in our life journey to become more loving, more compassionate, and more wise people, and to become more knowledgeable. We're on these teams to learn knowledge about the rules of the game. So let's look at this from a life journey perspective. Any sport that we're involved in or teamwork that we're involved in, it really does help us learn how to live on this earth and understand the laws of, say, karma, the reaping and sowing laws. You can observe a football team. In fact, there's a game on either tonight or it was on earlier. I don't know. There was a playoff game on tonight, I believe. And so if you're looking at these games from a higher perspective, there's so much to learn. Take the game of football. Whenever there's someone who behaves in a very vicious way and they break the rules, right away there's a penalty and there are consequences. Unfortunately, life isn't always like that. We don't always see the consequences when we make choices that are hateful or resentful or that demonstrate jealousy or a lacking truthfulness. If we are lacking in truthfulness and some of the areas of violence and stealing and greed and not being clean or not being content, then we don't always see the consequences of those choices. But if you're watching a football game, right away, if you're watching the players and whether they're, most of us know the general rules of the football game, and there are football fans who know all the details and the rules and whether it's a penalty or not. So watching a football game can really show us about the law of karma. It reveals to us in that hour of football playing that when you make a decision that goes against the divine rules of nature, there's a consequence. And the perfect example was the game that I watched with my dad a couple of weeks ago with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I believe it was Cincinnati, I think, the Bengals, where this guy, Adam Jones, tackled this Steelers player so hard that he caused him to have a concussion. He was just very rough and very hard on hitting this guy, and to the point where you could see the guy's eyes rolling up in the back of his head, even watching it on TV. So that type of behavior caused a penalty, major penalty, and then another defensive player was on the field, and he was harassing someone. So that team, the Cincinnati team, got two penalties right away, and that caused the other team, the Steelers, to move ahead on the field. They were able to hit a field goal in the last minute of the game, and they won the game. That was just a perfect situation where the consequences were immediate of hateful behavior, because this guy was obviously trying to tackle this man in a way that he would hurt him. He did hurt him, and he was out with a concussion, and now we got concussion protocol for that player. Whether that player comes back on in the game, I don't know. Pittsburgh is out of the playoffs now, so he can take a summer vacation now and rest his head. And the other players who are playing, I'm going to be watching the Super Bowl game for sure, and maybe giving some highlights on this show as to the life lessons that we can learn. And I would encourage people, as long as this sport is popular, when you have an opportunity to watch the game of the season, which is the Super Bowl, we're bringing together two of the best teams. They've fought all year long in the cold and the snow and the ice, and now these are the best of the best that are coming together. I believe 2 weeks from now, or either it's the 7th of February, to display their skills and demonstrate their training. And you see, again, the consequences of disobeying the rules or not following the guidelines. So we have before us the athlete's dilemma, in that many of these athletes love this game so much that they're risking their lives. They are truly risking their lives. I tweet a lot about football players now that my dad's book is out, and I'm just amazed to learn about all the players who are struggling with their physical health in their 30s. Some of these guys aren't even 40 years old yet, and they've had to stop playing professional football, not to mention the number of guys who have died in their 20s. And we don't hear about this on the news very often because this is not the type of news they want to promote about America's most popular sport, that it's killing these guys. And so the athlete's dilemma is that when is it time to pull out of this game? And if they decide, the guys who decide to stay in there, then we have to really look at this as a divine opportunity to learn some important lessons. And even if these guys don't survive the football seasons, the games, and the journey of football life lessons, then we know that these are lessons.
And said 7:30 was the last one. I couldn't believe that.
These are lessons that we can learn. I'm going
to
mute my sister because I think she's on another phone call. So, if anyone's on the line, I have a couple of callers on the line. If you have any questions or comments, we're talking tonight about the athlete's dilemma. Whether you've ever been involved in athletics, or if you've had friends or family who've been involved in athletics, we're talking about the different types of athletics, swimming. And in the case of my sister and I, we were involved in swimming for several years as young children. And we had the most fun. We developed health. We developed our bodies. We had no physical challenges pretty much at all, no broken bones. It's got to be one of the safest sports to pay in, is you don't break bones too quickly in swimming pools. And so it was a wonderful experience for us to understand athletics. And then you have, on the other hand, my dad who played football, who we're now seeing such a difference, not only in the makeup of the athletes, where my dad was only one of maybe two African-Americans on a team. Most NFL football teams back in the 40s were all white. And then in the late 40s, you began to see African-Americans recruited, and because they recognized their talent. African-Americans were allowed into the NFL arena because they had talent. I mean, you had some strong bodies and strong minds that were able to win games for these teams. So that's why we have had this sport grow in the face recognition of the players. Now it's more, the majority of the players now are African American, whereas in the 40s the majority were Caucasian. So this game has gone through a serious transition, but on the other hand, It's come to a place where it's very risky now. Life work. You're risking your life when you play in a professional football. And so we want to be more conscious about this in every athletic game we participate in, every sport that is out there. We want to be consciously aware that the Heavenly Father, our Creator, Yahuwah, has put these games before us on this earth to teach us lessons about life. We don't have to be pro football. We really don't. We just have to become conscious. And as I said, I believe after being a whole weekend in a yoga teacher training, the knowledge that I've gained is just enormous. I have to put it to practice, just as our instructor told us at the end of the class, if you don't practice it, you won't get the benefits. So I have to practice this every day because, as I said, you're producing not just collagen in your bones when you do these positions. You're developing discipline. You're developing a mind that puts you in harmony with the Creator's nature. And the vibration of the words that are spoken and the mind that we have, and the emotions of love for this temple, this body that we dwell in, they can only serve to enhance and strengthen the physical body with yoga. So that's why my position is, if we can help these football players who are giving us this great performance on the football field, entertaining us, that's why it's one of America's most popular sports, because it's very entertaining, even if they're out there killing themselves. It's very entertaining, it's exciting, it's thrilling, it's a demonstration of teamwork. And so these are all good to learn from. These are all observable behaviors right on the field that we can learn a lot about life. And that's why I'm very excited to be not only training to have more knowledge about the yoga practice, because there's no dilemma in the practice of yoga. The practice of yoga is just all beneficial if it's done correctly without forcing any positions, and if it's done correctly with knowledge and wisdom, you can't go wrong. The athlete's dilemma today is to gain more knowledge, wisdom, and overstanding, meaning having a higher perspective on any practice, on any event or any team that a person decides to participate in. That's the dilemma today, is that if a person wants to avoid the pain and suffering that we know will come if they continue to practice the same type of violent behavior or sport that they've done in the past, and if they don't switch their mind to a more or less violent, a more peaceful practice like yoga, then they will not offset the consequences of continual collisions to the head and the concussions that they get every game that are causing the brain to be disrupted and to be in poor health. This human body that we have is amazing. It's truly amazing. After gaining knowledge about the yoga history and the yoga practice, this is the anatomy of our body, the bones, the muscles. The muscles are like fiber optics that connect us to the universe. And one of the ancient philosophies or truths about yoga is that originally yoga was intended to bring a union of the outer cosmos or the outer universe with a union or unity with the inner cosmos or the inner universe, our human bodies. So if we can get athletes who are not in line with this philosophy, becoming one with our Creator and the universe without and within, if we can just get more athletes to keep this in mind, then there will be less pain and suffering. Because what is actually happening with our NFL football players, these guys are dying and suffering. They're suffering, first of all, because, and then they're on pain medications, and then they're dying, and the whole family is affected by that. And then we, because we are all one on this earth, we are affected by that. You can't help but be moved and affected by the news that an NFL player who performed for years dies a terrible death of dementia or Alzheimer's and is suicidal. When you hear something like that, it affects all of us. It really does. Because many of us have watched these guys play on the field in games, And then to hear that their life ends in such a horrible way as, say, Mike Webster from the Concussion movie, then it affects all of us. It really does affect all of us. And so our job on Soul Purpose Healing is to bring more wisdom and knowledge about the therapies that can help these people who decide to choose they are in the NFL. These guys who are not aware of the pain that's sure to come and are not doing the things that they need to do to offset the remedy and have a remedy for this, then they're going to suffer, we're going to suffer, because we're all one. We're all one. And anyone who's ever been had family members who are big sports fans, we know that if you have any family members who you're close to and they're a sport fan, then any news about their team or that sport in general is going to affect all of us, because we are connected. We're all connected. The Most High Creator has put us on this earth to journey and ascend in our consciousness that we are all one and that we are all connected. And so this show is all about bringing us to another level of awareness about who we are on this earth, why we're here. Our sole purpose here is to become more aware of how connected we are so that we can express the love, the compassion that's needed so much on this earth right now, and that we can come out of the violent mind, whether it's on the football field or in society. Because the truth is, all that violence we see on the football field is carrying itself out into the streets of many urban cities, and if not the earth in general, in foreign cities all across the waters. Too much violence on this earth. We who are peaceful and loving and kind, we want to see this violence end. And it starts right in our our neighborhoods and in our societies, where we are being entertained by one of the most violent sports on the earth. And so we're all about gaining wisdom about this. Wisdom, number one, that the Creator has allowed this football entertainment practice, sport, team sport, because we need to learn lessons from it. And the movie Concussion is a big lesson. The death of these players is a big lesson. And when we compare it to something as healthy as swimming and gymnastics and tennis and baseball and basketball, we can learn so many lessons, and we can help others realize that there are remedies. There are remedies that don't involve pharmaceutical pain meds necessarily, but that they involve practicing something like yoga that brings us closer to the creatures on earth, brings us closer to one another in love and compassion and sharing. And it wakes us up with knowledge about our sole purpose on this earth. So if you have any questions or comments at this point, we're at the top of the hour. Feel free to hit the number 1, and I'll open up your mic. And I want to say, let's see, I'm going to bring my sister back on here. I want to say thank you to my sister for coming on and sharing her experience about swimming, because we are connected, just like my other sisters. I have one in Fort Lauderdale, and I have sisters who are not even blood related, but we are one because we have a mission to bring more love, more compassion, and more wisdom to the earth. This is what our mission is. And whether it's the football field or baseball field, we want to watch these games, when we are watching them, with consciousness, with an awareness that these games are here to teach us lessons and help us look at remedies for what these athletes are going through and what these fans are going through, and to bring us to the awareness that our Creator loves us. Our Creator loves us, and He allows these things on the earth to teach us lessons, to teach us about the consequences, that every action has a reaction, and that we should seek to walk in truthfulness, love, compassion, and not in violence. So thank you all for listening tonight. And if you're watching those football games, watch it with a friend and take notes, and then become a better person because of what you learn from these games. I think we can all, if we decide to be entertained by sports in any way, there's so many lessons to learn. So when you're watching these things, watch them with a friend, and then seek to enlighten and become wiser after watching any activity, whether it's swimming, basketball, baseball. Learn the lessons. Don't just be entertained, but learn the lessons so that you can be a better person and walk in the light of truth and understanding. So have a blessed week. We'll be back here on Wednesday. Actually, we have a new show. We might have a new show starting on Tuesday. The Native American women in Montana will be starting a show, and we're going to learn all about what's going on the reservation. You'd be shocked to learn what the Department of the Bureau of Indian Affairs is doing to the people in Montana and on reservations. This show will bring enlightenment to all of us so that we can, number one, be prayerful about what's going on these reservations, and that we can help our Native American residents and sisters and brothers to do what they need to do to come out of the situations that they're in and improve their lives, improve their situations, and to be bold about keeping their land, and be bold about standing for what is righteous in that land, on the reservation. So I'm excited about that coming up maybe on Tuesday. If not this Tuesday, it'll be next Tuesday, but we've been planning it for some time, for a few weeks now, and we're almost completing our plan. So look for an email or a text about the Native American show that's coming up on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock. So bless you all for listening. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you on Wednesday with the Rock Medicine Women on the Move. Until then, shalom and aho.
And hey, let us ransom people for all